Thank God. All right. Well, last week we were talking about, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. We talked about step number three, and we'll recap a little bit and go forward. But that's step number three is know the reality of the new creation. Know the reality of the new creation. Know the reality of the new creation. Let's turn over to Colossians. Let's start there. Colossians 1. Let's hold your finger in Colossians 1. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5. Colossians 1, hold your finger in Colossians 1, go to 2 Corinthians 5. I think we'll start there. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How many of you are in Christ? So what does it say about us? We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So with this as well, with the new creation, we need to know the reality of that. That we were created a new creature in Christ. We were created a new being when we were born again. And we need to know the reality of that and what happened when we were born again. In other words, you can't, again, we talked about the reality of a redemption, what we've been redeemed from. We need to know that when we were born again, something happened to our spirit. And the Bible said what right here? It says we are a new creation. Anyone that's in Christ is a new creation. A new creation. That means you were actually spiritually dead when you got born again. I hope I can convey to you this truth about us being a new creation. We need to know, and we're going to read more scripture, but we need to know that it wasn't just an experience that we had, that when we believed on Jesus, that at that point we were spiritually dead. And we were completely recreated, a new person, a new spiritual person. And we became a new being. We were reborn into the family of God. And like we were talking about when we were talking about redemption before, we were in the family of Satan. And we actually, so we were dead, spiritually dead, but God actually created a new spiritual being when we got born again, and we were reborn into the family of God. You can't join this family by chanting something. or by some experience or by joining a church. You had to be reborn into the family. You had to be born into the family. But once we've been born into the family, like we mentioned last week, look at the family that we're in. When we became born again, when we were recreated, now God is our Heavenly Father in this family. See, we were born into a natural family. You know, that's why you all look different. I look different, you know, right? Yeah. We all go back. If you went back far enough, you'd hit Noah. You go back before that, you'd hit Adam. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but it's true. But where'd all these different colors and everything come from? That's not that hard to explain. We don't know what Adam looked like. But have you ever seen somebody that has a bunch of different ancestries? They look like, I mean, they could have, you know, you name them. And they look a certain way. Well, in that person is all these different areas. That person can have children. They could look like any one of those. If you think of what Adam and Eve look like, they had all of this built into them. And all you're seeing is all the different permutations and all the different combinations coming out. It's not that hard to explain. It's not that big of a deal. No, if you go back and look, we're going to all go back to Noah. Because, you know, after the flood, it was him and his wife and his three sons and their three wives, and that's it. Eight people. But we all look different. We all have different spiritual fathers. Not spiritual fathers, excuse me, natural fathers. Natural flesh parents. So you came in the flesh from them. You know, you got your eye color and your hair color and skin color and how high, tall you are and how many big a nose you're probably going to have and your ears and, you know, all these different things, they come from our natural heritage. But when you were born again, none of that changed, like we're talking about. You still had, if you had blonde hair beforehand, you had blonde hair after you're born again. Your mind was still intact. So your body's intact, your mind's intact. But on the inside, that person that existed is gone. There's a brand new person. And that new person has been born in to the family of God. And God just had another child, and he's the Father. And Jesus is our big brother. And if we realize the reality of that, then we are, spiritually speaking, in a new family, and there are rights and privileges that are ours just because we're born into that family. See, the reason we mess this up so much is because we look at the outward man. We look at all the natural that we see. Well, you look different than me, and you tend to behave that way, and you have this accent. And we do that even with Christians. We look at somebody according to the flesh. And you can regard your own self according to the flesh. So you don't see yourself in Christ. You don't see yourself in the family of God the way we ought to. Because if we realized I was actually born, we just, oh, I was born again. When were you saved? Or when you're born again? Those are biblical terms. But we throw it around flippantly sometimes, and we don't realize, we look at it as more, the world calls it a conversion. I mean, the Bible talks about that as well, but the world talks about it, you convert to this faith or convert to this faith as if I just decided to believe this, so now I'm over here. As if it's kind of all external. See, that's not really what happened. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were actually changed on the inside. It's not something you flip back and forth on. No, this is a reality that we became born. We're recreated, created in the image of the Lord. Our spirit is all new, and we are now in a new family. We're in His family. God is, so we say, well, we say Father God or whatever. This brings new just a new meaning to your heavenly Father. Because people say this in the world. Well, just, you know, God is the Father of all mankind. So it loses its meaning to what we're talking about here. That He is actually my first order Father, because I was born into this family spiritually. So spiritually speaking, I have one Father, and it's the Lord God Almighty. So when I say Father, I'm born in right into that family. So there are rights and privileges that go with that, and the more we realize that I was born again, I'm born into this family, it makes a difference when you approach Him. It makes a difference when you look at who you are versus who Satan is. Because you've been adopted, born into this family, and you have certain rights and privileges, and Satan knows that. So this, but when we know this reality, we're talking about having faith. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God. See, the more we know about what the Word says, see, faith will be there as you know what the Word says. We've looked at faith so many times as I'm going to try to have faith. You know, I'm trying to believe. Oh, I want to believe God's Word, so I'm trying to believe it. You know, I'm just trying real hard to believe, and I'm just going to believe for it. See, that's a wrong view of faith. That's like you trying to work something up, like I have this effort. I'm going to try to believe. But if we know certain things, and you know things as reality, and you take them as reality instead of some, you know, just doctrine, but you take it as reality, it's not so hard to believe it anymore. In fact, it just follows. If you really believe and take it as fact that when I called on the Lord Jesus, it wasn't just some superficial conversion or like I joined a church, but that the inner man who was dead was recreated, just like we read, is a new creation, born into the family of Almighty God, that I have royalty in me now. Now, to believe that God hears my prayer, that's not so hard to, you don't have to work to believe that because He's my Father. I was born into this family. So why wouldn't He hear me? I'm in the family of God. Jesus is my big brother. I'm in the family of God. It's not so hard to believe certain things. You've been taken out of the power of darkness. You've been put in this new family. It's not so hard to believe that Satan has no dominion over us because I'm in the family of God, and I don't care what your upbringing was and who your natural father was. Your father is now God Almighty by right of birth. You know as well as I do, there are certain families on this earth that people are born into that family and they have certain rights and privileges just because they're in that family. Well, if we can know that certain fathers are going to treat their children well just because they're their kid, why is it hard at all, and it's not hard, to believe that the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, that if we're born into His family, He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. That's not hard to believe. When you realize, hey, I'm born into this family. I don't have to try. I'm not like, you know, the neglected stepson or stepsister or, you know, whatever, daughter over there. No, I'm first tier. I was born into the family. Born of the Father. It's not that, you know, you realize that Jesus was born into the family. Colossians, go over to Colossians 1:18. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, the Bible says. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18, it says, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. See, Jesus gave his life for us. You realize that Jesus became a man? I know we say all the time, do you realize there is a man in heaven? He took the form of a man. He became like us. He identified with us so he could redeem us. And he died on that cross, but he was born. He came back from the dead. That's why he's called the firstborn from the dead. See, we were born again and redeemed from spiritual death, but Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Let's look at a few of these scriptures real quick. I know I'm covering some ground that we covered, but we're doing it a little bit different way. Revelation 1:18. I encourage you to go back and listen to the first message. Go back and listen to the first one. We just went scripture after scripture, but we're going to go into a few of these things. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. He said, I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1, Revelation 1:5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The firstborn from the dead. Go over to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1:6. It says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him, the firstborn. So Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. So we are begotten of God, but Jesus was the one who was begotten, was the first one who was begotten of God. We've been born again into this family. Let's go over to John 17, 23. We're talking about seven steps of the highest kind of faith. See, there's things that we need to know about who we are. Not everything you need to know about healing or about relationships is just those things. These things that affect who we are in the body of Christ, and these type of things will affect your faith for any number of areas. In other words, if you know these truths, they strengthen you in every area. If you realize who you are, then you go and say, see, if you realize who you are in Christ, and if you realize that you've been born into this family, and then you read that He took our infirmities, He bore our sicknesses, it brings on a different meaning. You realize I'm in this family and He already did that. I can believe that too. When you try to take things in isolation, I'm not saying you can't have faith, but these things will strengthen your faith because it's like it's just a complete picture. It's a complete view that you have. And like I said, so many people are trying to believe God. And the reason they're trying so hard is because there's gaps and they don't understand certain things. And so they have a hard time. The devil hits them in those areas. They don't have anything to combat it with. Maybe they had a horrible upbringing. And so they're trying to believe God and they know the Word says certain things, but they don't have it settled that God would actually do things for them. They don't realize their position with the Lord. You understand some of these things, it's no problem. Faith is no problem. In John 17, 23, I remember when I was at Rhema, I remember one morning specifically in our house there, Broken Arrow, I was reading and I have healing scriptures that I go over frequently. And I was looking at those. But there was something in my life I think I needed healing for. And I remember specifically thinking about the scriptures and healing. But God took me, I ended up on this verse. And this doesn't necessarily, this isn't something somebody would consider a healing scripture. But this will help you to get healed if you'll receive what it says. Verse 23, John 17, verse 23. See, Jesus is praying for believers that are going to believe, like you and I, on the Word. And He's praying for us then. He says, I and them. You can read verse 22. It says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It says that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Well, religious people would say, well, that's Jesus. I mean, how dare you say that God loves you like He loves Jesus? We didn't say it. The Bible said it. Jesus said it. He said that they would know, that the world would know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Well, if we're born into the family of God, remember Jesus is the firstborn. But we're born again into that family. Well, God's the Father. Let me ask you, you think He loves any one of His children more than the other? I mean, earthly fathers may go that way, but God's perfect. So if I'm in the family and have been born into the family like Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, it's not so hard to see that He's my big brother, I'm in the family, and God, Jesus Himself said that God loved us just like He loved Jesus. Well, if He loves me like He loves Jesus, it's not so hard to believe that He's not going to withhold anything from me, that if He has the power to do something, think about it this way. You parents, if you have the power to help one of your children, they're in need of help, and you have the power to do it, and I'm talking about help them in a way they need help. I'm not talking about help them when they really don't need help and you're just going to back off so that they can walk on their own. I mean, there's a time to do that. I'm talking about they need you. They're needing help. They're in pain, or you know, they're crying for you, help. How many of you would just be like, yeah, whatever, suffer for a little bit? I mean, would you not help them? They're saying, help, I need your help. And you come up to them and you come on to them. Are you not going to help them? Huh? You're going to help them. You think right now, and I've talked to you about this, if you don't have children, or that you don't relate to that, maybe you didn't have a good upbringing, you think of somebody that does love you, that you know loves you. Get it into your mind right now. Somebody you know loves you. If they had the power to help you and you were in need of help, would they help you? If you were sick and they could make you well, would they do it? If you were sick and you needed help, would they help you? You think God loves us any less than that? We're in His family. See, family is supposed to be like the heavenly family. It's supposed to. I realize there's been a lot of mess up in this world. That's because you're dealing with fallen humans and they don't follow God. And none of us are perfect. Okay? Not one of us has... You didn't have perfect parents. You're not the perfect parent. None of our kids are going to be the perfect parent. But by God's grace, we can still have a good family. Right? It's supposed to look like the heavenly family, though. It's supposed to look like our spiritual family. And what does that look like? Jesus is our brother that got us into the family. And God the Father loves us just like He loves the firstborn. And see, just like you could imagine somebody, they may not be family, maybe they're not family, there's somebody that you know that loves you, just like you can see them helping you when you need it, how much more God wants to help you? And see, you have to see it like that. You start realizing, well, I'm in the family. God loves me. He's not going to withhold. He helped me. If you start seeing it like that, if you can believe somebody that you know, a human being, would help you, God wants to help you that much more. And if you'll start seeing the reality that I was born into this family, and just like a father or a mother takes the new baby and they love and cherish that baby, God, when He saw us born again, it's the same way. We're born into that family. And if we're born into that family, God is looking on us. He would do anything to help us. That's why He sent Jesus. So people will say, well, God, they'll call out to God, God, help me. God, help me. God, why won't You answer me? He has answered us. He already saw ahead and said, these people are going to need help, and I'm going to send My only Son to get them in the family If they'll believe on him, then they're in the family and I can help them. And through my son, they have legal access and legal rights and privileges in this family. And I've been recreated. We realize that then we've been recreated, and God himself, he wants to do certain things. It's not that hard to believe when you realize the reality of that. That God's not out there somewhere and, oh God, where are you? No, he's my Father. Now it takes faith. You got to believe, not you can't look. But if we take this as truth and take this as not just fairy tale or not just something somebody preached, but real, then we know by faith that I'm in the family. You know by faith that I'm a brand new person. You know by faith that I have certain rights and privileges, and God loves me just like he loves Jesus. He loves me just like he loves Jesus. Just dwelling on that, that'll get you healed. Because see, you don't see him far away now. You realize that I've been born into this family and he loves me. And if he loves me, he's not going to withhold anything good from me. And he already said over and over in the Word that he has done everything through Jesus. And see, you take that as real, your faith will just go up many notches. And you can receive things now from him because you're not trying, you're not seeing him as way out there and hard to get to. You see him as my very own Father. And that he loves me. So you got to take this verse and you have to make it yours. You have to believe it. And how does that come? Meditate on it. What does meditate mean? Let it sink in. Just think about that. So you don't go, yeah, I know, and then go back and then, okay, I'm going to try to believe real hard. Let it sit there. Sit there and realize, just think. Think on the fact that you're in the family. Think on the fact that when I was born again, that I was recreated. And that God is my very own Father. Jesus is my big brother. And you think on that and let that soak in. Even right now, just let that soak in. Meditate. When the Bible says meditate, it's not talking about anything hard. It's talking about you let it marinate. You think about it. You let it become real. It's not a fleeting thought. You think about it. You see it. And when you see it, you start and you believe and act on it. See, when you start to see it as real, then you start acting on it. You start acting like it's true. See, God isn't so far away now. He's my Father. And that's not just some Christian easy religious term. That's fact. I may have a different earthly father, but I have a heavenly Father. And all his resources, he has given me access to them through my big brother. You realize Jesus is your big brother? I don't mean you just nod your head because you know it in your head. I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Now, I didn't have a big brother. I was the oldest. But you know, he's our big brother. You little kid, just like they do with daddies and stuff. Well, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. Or my brother. Oh, yeah, my brother whip your brother. I'll go get my big brother. See, we know that in the natural. But some people are saying, Jesus, why? You're acting like he's way out there. But he's our big brother. And he's a good big brother. He's not, you know, like going to thump you on the head and be mean to you and stuff like some big brothers might do that. No, he's a good big brother. So he loves us. And the Father, our daddy, loves us both. He loves me just like he loves Jesus. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. And that's my big brother. This is looking pretty good. This is my family. This is your family. You think about that for just a minute. Just take a minute and think about it. That the Father, our Father, is the one that rules the universe. He is the Creator. He is all-powerful. And you and I are His very own child. And our big brother is the Savior of all the world. He has the name above every name. At His name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord. In heaven, in earth, under the earth, that means everybody, is it going to acknowledge that our big brother is the Lord? And this is the family that we're in. You guys with me? You see this in here? This is our family. I don't care what your family out here looks like. Forget that. Because this is real. We're going to see our family. This is part of it right here. You see, these are your real brothers and sisters right here. And you're going to see more of them when you go to heaven. But even while we're here, don't ever think, well, I just don't have anything going for me. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen in this situation. I don't know what, you know, they just might take advantage of me. See, something, we let it, somehow we're not really focusing on the fact that, no, my family, I know I'm going over some of this again, but this we need to see. Sometimes we go over it, and it's not because we're slow mentally, it's because our spirits are grabbing hold of something. And our spirits have been pushed the other way. The world's not going to tell you any of this stuff. So sometimes it just comes by, and it comes by, and it comes by. But let me ask you a question. Let's say you are part of some family that was very, very, very wealthy. You could probably name a few of them, names that you know on this earth. I mean, just say, you know, very wealthy, just very powerful and wealthy. Naturally speaking. And some other person in some other area was trying to make some maneuver against you. Now, and you have all these resources in your family. You think your family's going to stand by and go, oh, well, whatever. Yeah, this guy over here is going to, you know, is trying to take you down, but your family's going to stand by and you're going to stand by in this family and not doing anything about it. No, in the natural, you would say, you want to try that? Okay, you're going to come up against what we have to bring to bear to the situation. You're going to try to do that? Well, we have people that are going to come in and stop you from doing it, right? Any connections, any people you know, all that stuff. So if we can know that in the natural, why do we have a problem with it in the spiritual? See, right now, you may think I'm helpless in this situation. See, we've forgotten for a moment the fact that our Father is God Almighty. And our big brother is the highest name in the universe. So we either believe that or we don't. If we have a hard time wrapping our minds around it, it's because we just haven't thought on it like we're doing right now. But you start to think like that. Now you tell me what human being is going to come in, which human being on the earth is more powerful than your spiritual family? What human is going to come and make your life hard for you when your Father is the Almighty and your big brother is Jesus? Do they really have a chance of really bringing anything on you unless you let them? If we'll look to what the reality is, what God has actually done, that changes everything. Then you say, well, okay, well, you can try some things, I guess, but, you know, my family, they're pretty strong. You come up against them? Fine. I'm just going to take it to my family and we'll let them deal with it. I'm going to take it to my Heavenly Father. I know He hears me and He loves me as much as my big brother. I'm going to go talk to Him about it and we'll get this thing straightened out. I'm not going to even deal with you. I'm just going to let Him deal with it. You think that would change some situations? If we acted on that and acted like He's on the throne and acted like we're actually in this family? Acted like we're really been recreated. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think so. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, Lord.